Welcome back to Orthopedics on the Leading Edge, brought to you by Beaumont Hospitals. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about, well, amongst other things, women in orthopedic surgery. And our guest is Dr. Rachel Rode. Dr. Rode, why don't you give us your title?
Well, I'm an upper extremity orthopedic surgeon at Beaumont Hospital.
Okay, that'll work. And it seems to me that that women in general are underrepresented in orthopedic surgery. Is that a false assumption on my part, or is it true?
No, that's absolutely true. Historically, only about 5% of orthopedists have been women. It's risen a little bit in the past several years, but it's still the lowest representation of women in medicine is in orthopedics right now.
I wonder why that is.
You know, I think that in the past there's been a perception that orthopedics takes a lot of physical strength, which isn't necessarily true. But overall, I think it's a lack of role models. And I think that if women don't see other women who are practicing in the field and loving it, then they may not be encouraged or inspired to do it.
Are you planning, or is anyone planning, to do something about this in the future? Is there some program that's been designed to attract women to it?
Well, absolutely. There actually is a society called the Ruth Jackson Orthopedic Society, which is really a society of women in orthopedics. And part of their goal is to increase the visibility of women and to mentor women who may be interested in orthopedic surgery.
So is there any difference about the way you practice medicine?
Well, I can't speak really for other people, but I always like to, when I see a patient, think, I want to treat them as I would want to be treated, or as I would want my family member to be treated. So I think that that's really important.
How does your involvement in the national societies and doctor groups keep Beaumont Orthopedics ahead of other operations?
Well, I think I and several of my colleagues are very, very involved on the national level and sort of the orthopedic circuit. I think it's really important that we get to know the other people in the field, to exchange ideas and to learn what's new and what's great out there, so that we can bring it back home and help people here.
So they aren't just meetings where everybody gets together and has a few drinks and goes out to dinner and sees a show or whatever. You folks share some information.
Well, you know, there may be dinner involved at some point, yes. But yes, we're in conferences from about 6 in the morning until probably about 6 or 7 in the evening, and then dinner.
Well, sure. I've asked this of all the Beaumont doctors that I've talked to, and I'm going to ask it of you. Why Beaumont for you, and why for the patient?
Well, it's interesting. I grew up in Michigan, and I went to the University of Michigan. But then after that, I did all of my training out of state. I was in Boston and Pittsburgh and New York City at, you know, some great orthopedic programs. And when I was growing up, I thought of Beaumont as the hospital down the street from me. But really, it's amazing to be part of this environment, because Beaumont actually has nationally and internationally recognized leaders in their fields, you know, right here at home, which is terrific. So as far as that goes, that's one of the reasons why I liked Beaumont. Why would patients like Beaumont? Well, to have those kinds of people taking care, both in orthopedics and, you know, in other specialties, I think is a terrific opportunity.
And I guess we should talk about this before we run out of time, and then I miss the subject altogether. You've decided to write a book, or you've written a book. Tell us about the book and why you decided to write it.
Yes, I have one book that's out now, and one that's about to be published. These really are texts for other healthcare providers. The first one that's already available is about managing hand injuries. And the reason that I wrote this book with one of my fellowship mentors was that I realized that when people have hand injuries, the first person they really see is usually their primary care physician or an emergency medicine physician who doesn't have specialist training. So this is really a guide to help those healthcare providers kind of see the patient and know what to do and when to refer.
Okay. Speaking of hand and elbow injuries, what are the most common injuries that you see of the hand?
Well, the most common injuries, especially this time of year, we're starting to see the wrist fractures, and I'm sure that will unfortunately increase as it gets icy and snowy outside. In terms of other issues that we see, carpal tunnel syndrome and hand arthritis are probably the most common things that we see.
Carpal tunnel syndrome seems to be something that's on at the workplace. We talk about it a lot. And what are the symptoms? How would we know that we need to see a Beaumont doctor?
Sure. Well, carpal tunnel syndrome is really a syndrome in which a nerve in the hand is compressed. But most people describe it as like a numbness or tingling where they feel like they're not getting enough blood supply to their hand. They often wake up at night and feel like they have to shake their hands out to make the symptoms go away. And so that's about the time when you want to start considering seeing a doctor.
Okay, so that carpal tunnel is where all the nerves go through. That's why they call it the tunnel syndrome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The median nerve goes through there, as well as all the tendons that flex your fingers.
You're talking about an increase in bone fractures due to the icy conditions. I've heard a lot about vitamin D shortages and osteoporosis and these kinds of things. Does vitamin D play an important part or any role at all in whether or not I might break a bone or just strain it or something when I fall?
Vitamin D, yes, actually is a huge issue, and it's really, really important. We've seen a lot of emphasis on calcium, but actually we need vitamin D in order to absorb calcium. And vitamin D is activated and increased by exposure to sun, which we don't get much of here in Michigan, especially in the winter months. And so we often have a shortage of vitamin D in our bodies. Now, most multivitamins have about 400 units of vitamin D, and we think now that we actually need about 2,000 units of vitamin D a day. So it's important to make sure that you're getting enough vitamin D.
So if I move to Florida, then I won't have to take vitamin D. Is that what you're saying?
It is possible, but then you have to worry about your sun exposure and your skin.
That's true. We're talking with Dr. Rachel Rhodes. She is an upper extremities orthopedic specialist at Beaumont Hospital. And if I have it correct now, bone density testing is something that is very important. I've been hearing more and more about it. How is it done? Why is it important?
Well, the bone density testing is done in people who are at risk for osteoporosis or for bone loss. And the reason that, as a hand specialist, I worry about this is because a wrist fracture can predict a hip fracture by about 10 years. And so when people come in with wrist fractures, I automatically think, okay, are you taking calcium? Are you getting enough vitamin D? And have you had a bone density test? Because that will really tell someone if they need to be on some sort of medicine that helps out with the bone density.
Briefly, can you give us some idea as to how the imaging industry has improved orthopedic surgery?
Oh, well, the imaging has become indispensable. Obviously, we use x-rays, and that's one of the older aspects of imaging. But CT scans and MRI really help us see what's going on inside the body and help us plan in case we need surgery. The most interesting thing lately, I think, is that a lot of the imaging is digital, and all the imaging at Beaumont Hospital and at the office in which I practice is all computerized. So it's accessible, and we don't have to look for the films anymore.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing in radio with tapes. You don't see any tapes around. We got to get to this. I want to congratulate you. This is your first Thanksgiving with your new baby, a little girl, I understand, was born in August.
Yes.
And Dr. Rhodes, do you have any suggestions to people to avoid those inevitable hand injuries that happen at Thanksgiving?
Oh, sure. The biggest hand injury that happens at Thanksgiving is with turkey carving, which sounds kind of funny, but you definitely want to keep the knives away from children. You don't want to get your hand in the way, obviously, when you're carving a turkey.
Especially with an electric knife.
Especially with the electric one, yes, that's not so good either. But basically, you have to be careful and watch your hands when you're cutting.
Dr. Rhodes, thank you. I wish we had more time to talk. We could go on for a whole show, I think, on
thank
the
you.
Upper extremities. You made it very interesting. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm John McCullough. Do you have a Beaumont doctor?